be seated, please.
Okay, well, it's good to have you in the Lord's house with us today. We're gaining some. And I want to thank those over in the gym for being there, being a part of this service. One of these days, we'll be back together. We'll have this tape down, and we'll all snuggle up. We'll be sending out SOSs. That means scoot over some, and we'll let everybody. We'll get us all back in here. We have the Telstai House with us this morning to give testimony and share God's work there, and we'll have the service tonight. We'll start at 6 o'clock. Our Wednesday evening Bible studies are going to begin starting at 6 o'clock this coming Wednesday. So if you've been coming to that, if you come at 7, you'll be an hour late. So that'll start at 6, and those of you that have children in the children's program, well, you'll need to be here at 6. We've moved that time up in order to get the kids in bed earlier for school and all that kind of stuff. So we're very grateful for that. Let me lead us in a word of prayer and we'll continue to worship. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you that you've given us this day. And Lord, we know you made it. And we give you the results of that. We hand it into your hands. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take full control of this service. We just pray that our hearts would be open to your work and your will in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's the first Sunday of the month, so you know what that means, birthdays and anniversaries. So I'm going to ask if you have a birthday, stand up, and we're going to sing happy birthday to you. Come forward. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We love you. We do. We love you. We do. We love you. God bless you. We love you. We do. Happy birthday. That was all gentlemen. This side. Okay, anniversaries. Come on forward. Wow. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Tom. Yeah. 29. 29. All right. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand again if it's convenient for you. We're going to sing a couple old hymns. The first one, Send the Light.
1, 2, 3.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Blessed gospel light, let it shine.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born of our salvation, Jesus. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. And there is one born of our salvation, oh, Jesus. And we need him. Amen. chorus this time again, but this time let's sing, Lord, we need you.
If you guys want to hear that tale I just told, come tonight. And by the way, it's good to have you guys. And by the way, those you guys over in the gym, put those cards away. We can see you. You think they're doing that? I don't think so. But we are grateful for those that are here and those that are over in the gym. And those that are going to be listening to this program from home or from some other source, we're grateful for them too. We're glad to have with us the Telestai House this morning. They're going to bring testimony and news to us. Our church has had the privilege of supporting that some, and we are very grateful for that. So, Tracy, would you come and take over?
If it wasn't for my...
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You'll have every failure, God, You have every victory.
Verse 30. Today with me, I have my friend Jama in the back. She makes all this work. I just have to come up here and talk. She does the rest of that. So welcome her with us today. And I also have Kelly with us. Kelly has been a resident at Tetelestai House for 6 weeks now. Kelly came to us 6 weeks ago. So we're happy to have her with us today. So let me turn this on. What is Tetelestai House? Let me turn it on. We are a nonprofit faith-based organization, and we operate a ministry house in Omaha, and we minister to women coming out of incarceration. So we want the women coming to Tetelestai House to know that that old way of life can be finished and that there's new life in Christ. We want her to find her worth in Jesus. We want her to understand who he says she is. So that's our mission. That's our goal. So Tetelestai House was never the plan. Anyone in here growing up ever say, man, when I grow up, I want to work with women coming out of jail and prison? No, me neither. That was never the goal. However, in 2010, I found myself coming to the end of a 16-year drug addiction. I had been in and out of jail more times than I could count. I had been in and out of prison. In 2010, I was on my way to prison for the second time for manufacturing methamphetamine. And when I got to prison, I was completely lost, broken, and alone. Didn't know anything about Jesus. Thought maybe there might be a God, but I wasn't sure yet. But I knew at that point in my life that something had to change. So while I was incarcerated in the Arkansas Department of Corrections, I went into this program called the PAL program, and that's Principles and Applications for Life. So every day you sit in a classroom atmosphere and you are hand-fed the Word of God. Inmates are trained up by chaplains throughout the state, and they tell you who Jesus is, what he did for you, and who you could become in him. So one day I was sitting at my table, and I was reading in the book of Matthew about the virgins and the lamp oil. And I got to the very end, and I read the words, I don't know you. And I realized in that moment that I was a lost sinner bound to bust the gates of hell wide open without a Savior, and I saw my need for Jesus. And I got up, and I went to my cell, and I got down on my face, and I asked God to forgive me, and I asked him to use me and use me up. I told him that day, God, if you can take 16 years of addiction and use it for your glory, I'm giving that to you. If there's anything good left in me, I'm giving that to you. And I left my barracks and I talked to our house mom. Her name was Miss Bobby. And I said, Miss Bobby, I just got saved. And she said, you be sure and tell someone. And I thought, are you kidding me? I'm telling everyone. I have since heard that the definition of salvation is when God takes you from a life of Gehenna and he places you in a whole new walk. And that's what happened to me on that prison cell floor that day. The Lord immediately burdened my heart for missions, but what does that look like in prison? You can't leave your cell, much less the country. But I began to pray for mission teams, for missionaries. The Lord saw fit to release me from prison later that year. Day before Thanksgiving in 2010, I was released from prison. Not before he had changed my eternal destination, but he had begun to change my heart. He had begun to change my life. My daughter's Sunday school teacher wrote me every week that I was there. And she said, for 6 years, your daughter has walked into this Sunday school room and asked us to pray for you. Every Sunday, we've prayed for you. We'd love if you join us at church. So the following Sunday, I walked into Lakeland Baptist Church in Omaha. And when I walked in the door, the town drunk was in the foyer. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I've been sober a couple of years. This is where I go to church. And I remember thinking, good, then they won't ask me to leave. And they scooped me up and they loved on me and they didn't care about where I had been. Their only concern is where I was going. And I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Pawhuska, Oklahoma on the Osage Indian Reservation. And through that mission trip, the Lord opened the door to do jail ministry. I started doing jail ministry in Pawhuska in 2012 and later that year started doing it in Boone County Jail. And one night I was in there with the ladies. And when I left prison, I had a parole plan, I had a parole officer, I had some accountability. When you leave county jail, you meet a bondsman at the door with a little bit of money and you can go anywhere you want. So I had 8 ladies in my service that night and I said, ladies, where are you going when you leave here? 6 out of the 8 women were going back to the house they were arrested at. And when I asked them why, they said, where else would I go? That's where I live. So we began to see a need. These women had no safe, drug-free environment to begin again. When I left prison, I was able to go back home to my dad's and get on the right track and had a church to come alongside me and grow me into who I am today along with Jesus. These women didn't have that. So I began to pray and I asked God, how can I impact the lives of these women at a greater level? But how can we as the church impact your kingdom at a greater level? In 2013, a couple in our church, they had a house on their property they weren't using, and they wanted to donate that house to a ministry for women coming out of incarceration. And Tetelestai House was born. And later that year, I was named director of Tetelestai. And what we provide at Tea House is housing for 1 year in a safe, drug-free environment. We speak to women, we speak into their life, we tell them who Jesus is, what he did for them, who they can become in him. They spend daily time in God's word. We offer classes on job readiness, GED. If they haven't got a high school diploma, we help them get that. We also offer opportunities to get back through community service work. Oftentimes, that's a way they can pay off their fines and fees through doing community service work. We also offer support to their families. On paper, in 1 year, we'll minister to 6 women. But in all reality, we minister into the lives of their mothers, their fathers, their sisters, their brothers, their sons and daughters, and even their grandchildren. One thing we do at Tetelestai House is a monthly jail ministry. Still love going into county jails. Been going into Boone County since 2012. We started going into Newton County in 2018. Going into county jails, you are definitely a seed sower. We have about an hour with these ladies, and we may never know the impact that was had that night. And that's with all of us. We may never know. The harvest isn't up to us. So we met a young lady in Newton County Jail. It was November of last year. And we go in, we share a lesson, we share the gospel, we pray with them, and then we leave. And we did that in November, and she was hard. She was shut down. We go in December, we share a lesson, we share the gospel, we pray with her, and she cries a little bit. We pray all the way home. We go back in January. We share a lesson, we share the gospel, we pray with her, and she cries a little bit more. We go back in February of this year, and we share a lesson, we share the gospel. We start to pray, and she cries out, I'm a sinner. And she comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And then coronavirus happened. And we have a new believer sitting in Newton County Jail, and we have no way to communicate with her. No way. We can't send her a Bible. We can't even send her a Bible study. So we pray. Months go by. Months. We're sitting on the couch one day opening the mail, and I get this letter from from this young lady. Start reading it, and about halfway through, we realize that it's this inmate from Newton County Jail. She had made it to prison, and she just wanted to write to us and tell us where she was. And I just want to read you a little bit of her letter. It says, thank you for taking your time out to come and preach the gospel in county. It meant a lot to me, and I thank you a lot for the burden you gals took off my heart in county jail. Don't grow weary in doing good, because in due time you will reap a harvest. Wherever you're ministering at, whether it's in school, whether it's in church, whether it's at the grocery store, you never know the impact you're having. So don't grow weary. Let that encourage your hearts today. Jail ministry is one of our favorite things that we get to do. We absolutely love it. Why to Telestai? Why do we do what we do? Arkansas is one of the leading in the nation as far as recidivism rates go. 54% of the inmates that leave the ADC today are going to return within 3 years. 6 out of the 8 women were going back to the house they were arrested at. But upon completion of a faith-based program, that number drops tremendously. I always tell people, prison didn't change my life. Jesus Christ did. Prison's just where it happened. And nothing speaks louder to what we do or why we do what we do than a life that has been changed. We have a video of a former resident. We shot this video last year for a fundraiser, and we just wanted her to share a little bit about what the Lord did in her life while she was at Tea House. So if you want to play that video, that'd be great.
My name is Amanda Henderson. I was at the Tea House in 2017. I'm 28 months sober. I got saved at Wilbur Mills. I asked the Lord into my heart. I got baptized at the Boone County Jail. And the Tea House saved my life. It helped me make better decisions, learn how to make better decisions, you know, relearn how to live like a normal person. And this literally saved my life. I have now, this past year, got my kids back every weekend. My oldest daughter has gotten married, and I was able to financially help her for once in my life to have a wedding. I have my kids, like I said, every weekend, and being able to have money and to be able to support them and cook and just like I haven't been in a while, you know. In this past year, everything has gone great. I've got a house off probation, vehicles, money in the bank, and it's just the Lord has brought me happiness, great support, great family. It's restored my life. Better than it was before he was in my life. And it's a blessing.
So a little update on Amanda. I spoke with her last night. She's been clean over 3 years now and has her children back full time. Each of those statistics, each person in that 54%, each of them women in county jail, they're a soul. That is a person that God created in his image with a purpose. And today I want to introduce you to Kelly. And God has plans for her life. And we've just asked her to share a little bit about what the Lord has done in her life. Kelly is our first resident at our new facility. And like I said, she's been with us for 6 weeks. So help me welcome Kelly.
Hi. Good morning. I was just a lost sinner hooked on methamphetamine, going through every day with no rhyme or reason. Then lost in my addiction and guilt, I got pregnant. I went to jail, and God started working on my heart then. Then I had a beautiful daughter named Elizabeth, and that's when I started to want to change, to be better and to give that little girl the best life. I ended up in jail again, and then after 7 months, I came to Telestai House. God... I truly started to change. Then one Monday night in our journey class, I broke down and accepted Jesus Christ in my life as my Savior. Life since has been all new. It is like it's learning a new way of life in Him, feeling cleansed as if a giant burden had been lifted. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. That's Kelly's first time to share publicly, so thank you for letting her do that here. We knew this was a good, safe place to do it, so thank you for allowing that. So we couldn't do what we do at Tetelestai House without a home for these women, without a safe, drug-free environment to offer them. We operated out of a loan facility for like 7 years. 2013, a loaned home was given to us. My dad said it was originally, the old tea house was originally built as a boat shop. When I was a kid, it was a feed store, and then it was Gloria and Gluckenheimer's. It was a craft store. When my kids were kids, it was a community building. So it had been many things, and then it was home to 28 women. But in 2017, the Lord raised up our pastor, Brother Carl Garvin, and his wife Kay, to donate almost an acre of land for us to build a ministry-owned home that would empower us to reach more women and reach more into our community at a greater level. So we broke ground in 2018, and today we are living in the new tea house completely and totally debt-free. So we are super excited about that. Amen. We do have a video from a fundraiser that we had last year, and it'll just walk you along through the building process, so we want to share that with you now.
Anytime a heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, I know, I know, I know. God is on the move. Sets men free. Anytime the choice is made to stand upon the word, I know, I know, I know, I know. Searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. Anymore.
How has this impacted you?
Well, this has opened my eyes to how God works. And it's been incredible. And I don't know how to describe it any other way.
So we've known all along that we had a God-sized vision. Donnie, being our building project manager, he would call me days and he'd be like, "You're not going to believe this." And I'm like, "Man, have you seen my mugshot? Like, I'm going to believe it. Tell me what Jesus has done." But everything that you saw, completely and totally furnished by donations alone. So everything you saw was through the fruitful giving of folks like you, and we do appreciate you coming alongside us and supporting us and praying for us and just helping us be who we are today. So all along we have known that we have a God-sized vision. So we had some short-term goals. We wanted to have a ministry-owned home that would empower us to reach more women and reach into our community at a greater level. We live there today. We also wanted a capacity for more residents. The old house would house 4 women for 1 year. The new house, eventually, when we complete phase 2, it will empower us to reach 12 women per year. We would also love to regain entry into the county jails. Please join us in prayer that opportunity of COVID would just get on out of here and we could get back in to ministering to the incarcerated. Our heart is there. We would also, for long-term goals, we would love to have next step cottages. Possibly a resident completes the program, she could move into what we envision, a tiny house outside the house, where she can then sow into residents coming in after her. We would also love to offer on-site work opportunities. When you get out of prison with 6 felonies, it's a little hard to get a job. So if we had on-site work opportunities available, these ladies could still be productive members of society giving back. We would also love to host Ladies' Day retreats. We would love to be an event space for anything that would impact our community. Our needs are that of any other household, but mainly right now we could use your prayers. Pray for us. We try to speak at 2 churches every month. Through COVID, we were not able to do that. So many churches were closed down. So we are thrilled to be having the opportunities to get back into churches and share. And also monetary donations. We take no government funding. We have taken no government funding throughout coronavirus. If you go on our website, you can choose how you would like to give. You can give to the general fund, you can give to our building fund, or you can give to what we call study Bibles for inmates. These are study Bibles that we send into county jails throughout the state of Arkansas. And we've sent in over 150 study Bibles to inmates and staff in county jails. Right now, we have a need that's not up here. I want to share it with you. So you saw the house inside. It looks amazing. Outside, it still kind of looks like a construction zone. So we are needing landscape materials. We're needing blocks, bricks, dirt, mulch, plants, anything like that to make the outside look as good as the inside. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm still on. Can you change the slide? There we go. So one of our greatest expenses is gasoline. We are the ladies' transportation through the entire process of the program. So one of our greatest expenses is gasoline. Doug at 4-Star Car Care has come alongside us as a monthly ad sponsor, and he helps us to offset that cost of gas. He also keeps my oil changed, and he sells me tires, and he has a huge poster for Tetelestai House on the wall when you walk in. Go by and see him. He loves the Lord, loves the work that's being done at Tea House. Let him know we were here and that you heard about him here. So specific ways you can pray for us: ask for God's wisdom and his direction and stewardship. We want to continue to be a good steward of all that he's given us. Also ask for his provision. He has met us along the way right where we are at. He has raised up the right people at the right time, and just pray that he continue to do so. And ask him how he would have you be involved. We are seed sowers. We are called to be the light. So ask him how he would have you be involved. So we have a board of directors that Jama and I work for, and on that board is Roy Swetman is our president. He was the associational missionary for years, and now is interim pastoring at a little church in Jasper. We also have Jackie Markle, who is our vice president. She works for the foundation at North Arkansas College. We have Chandra Sprinkle. She works for Branson Schools, and she is our bookkeeper. Carl Garvin is our treasurer, also our pastor. Brandon Cohn works for North Arkansas College. Kenny DeYoung worked for the sheriff's office for years and is now a resource officer at Jasper School. Terry Garrett works for Congressman Womack. Gene Hankins is our second resident and our first graduate and now serving on our board. And Robert Hathaway is the county judge. We have some contact info in the back. We have brochures. We have business cards. We have a new simple way to give. On the brochure, you can see that we have a text to give number, 44321. You can text T-House to that and now give safely and easily through your telephone. We also have an e-news sign-up sheet back there. We would love for you to sign up for our e-newsletter. We have T-shirts available for a $15 donation. And any questions that you might have, I would be available to answer. Thank you for letting me share today, and thank you for letting Kelly share. Every time that we get to share what Jesus is doing in our life, a little healing happens. Every time that we get to share our testimony, the enemy no longer gets to use that because we're giving it to God to use for his glory. When I share my story, I don't even like to use the word restored because God has given me life like I've never known it before. He's restored my marriage, given me back my children, put me in a loving church family, and letting me serve in a ministry that is so very dear and dear to my heart. So thank you for partnering with us, and thank you for letting me share today. Turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you, ladies. That's great. Matt, can you help us with an invitation? You're ready to do that? If y'all would come. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you've not been born again, we want to give you an opportunity to do that today. In the last couple of Sundays, I haven't been, haven't led in that sinner's prayer, and I mean to do that because we've seen folks saved through that who've decided to pray that prayer and ask Jesus into their heart. So if you're in the gym or if you're here in the auditorium, let's stand together. And if God is dealing with your heart to make a decision for him today, whether it's to receive him as your personal Savior or recommit your heart and your life to the Lord or to become a part of this fellowship, we won't give you an opportunity to do that. One of the guys that's watching the back door, would you go to the back door, please? I've got someone trying to get, let them in. You'll have to push the button. All right. So we want to give you an opportunity to make that decision for Christ today. If you're not a Christian, would you follow me in this prayer? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior right now. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. And I receive you right now as my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ as your Savior, I'd like to talk to you. And I'm going to be up here at the front. Or if you have another decision to make for the Lord, if there's something that you'd like to visit with me about, I urge you to come and do that. Brother Matt's going to lead us in the invitational number, and that will conclude our service when Brother Matt finishes. Mouthing those words, and she did exactly what she is supposed to do. She prayed to accept Christ as her Savior, and she stepped out and made it public. Anybody else? Anyone else? Maybe you didn't say the prayer, but you want to. You want to be saved today. You want to make that decision for Christ today. Would you come right now? Would you just step out from where you're at and come right now? Come right now. And in your coming, you'd be saved. I want to be saved. I want to become a Christian this morning. I want Christ as my Savior. Will you come? Would you come? Would you decide today for Christ? All right, amen. I'll still be up here. If you need to talk, I hope you'll come and visit with me. I've urged Farissa to consider following the Lord in baptism, and she'll be needing to talk to her folks about that, but I hope we'll get to do that in the next few weeks and make that decision. Because of the distancing thing, we're not going to ask you to come around and shake Farissa's hand as we would normally do it, but you can encourage her in the Lord from where you are at. And would you say amen?
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.